Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to White Spot Giants this week. We are on the home of Vancouver hockey and the home of the Giants, Sportsnet 650. Very pleased and grateful for head coach Michael Dick to take the time to chat with us in segment number one as he gets ready for the World Juniors and the bubble, of course, that will be taking place in Edmonton, and then the World Junior Selection Camp, which begins on November 13th in Red Deer. And the World Junior conversation will continue with our next guest. But for segment number two, I'm fired up to head about as far east as you can possibly go in the WHL. We head to Brandon, Manitoba to chat with a fellow who I've had the really good fortune of knowing for over 10 years now. And it's a really cool story. We'll get there in due course. But the play-by-play voice of the Brandon Wheat Kings on White Spot Giants this week, Brandon Crow. How are you, my friend? It's good to hear your voice.
Man, Dan, when you texted me last night and I saw your number pop up on my phone, that is the happiest I've been in months. Don't tell my wife I said that. but just seeing your name pop up and knowing that a guy wants to talk some hockey, and, you know, we can spend the next half hour, 40 minutes pretending like life's normal and we can talk about hockey. That excites me and I'm really looking forward to it.
Likewise, my friend. Start by giving us the current state of affairs and maybe give us the current temperature of life right now in Manitoba. I mean, quite literally, it's 18 degrees in Brandon today. What the hell is going on? But on a bigger, you know, picture, I get the sense that life in Manitoba is a little hot and cold right now, just with COVID and everything that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, the weather today, at one point, I think the thermostat hit 19 degrees today. It's absolutely beautiful. There isn't a spot of snow on the ground. And for November 1st, 2nd, whatever day of the calendar it is today, that is pretty rare. And aside from that, you know, I think a lot of the conversation around the province right now is the increase in positive tests with the whole COVID pandemic. The last, I would say, 5 to 10 days have not been Manitoba's brightest hour. There's been a ton of positive cases. Unfortunately, there's been a handful of deaths. And people in BC that aren't maybe familiar with Manitoba, you realistically, in the province of however many people live here, it's a big place, there's realistically only two cities that can provide medical care to the level that COVID patients need, and that's the city of Winnipeg and the city of Brandon. And outside of that, it's a lot of small-town rural hospitals with some nursing stations and maybe the odd family practitioner. So the fact that the numbers are increasing to the point where they are now has started to inflict a little bit of panic here in the province. We've just had our health region here in Brandon go into a code orange where things are tightening down, masks are mandatory, you know, certain places have restricted hours, schools back to online learning. Winnipeg's basically shut right down, bars, restaurants, it's all closed. So, you know, up until this point, I thought Manitoba had done a real good job of kind of keeping it at bay, province-wide in comparison to the other places with a lot more metropolitan cities. It's been a tough stretch here for Manitobans, but, you know, at the end of the day, for someone like myself, I live out in the country. I live out on a farm, a little 10-acre spot out in the middle of nowhere. Just myself, my wife, a couple dogs, a few chickens, and some cows. It's kind of an old-school lifestyle, and I'm about as far away from the hustle and bustle as I can get. So the idea of getting going in hockey again, it's been on the forefront here. The Junior A team just in the town I live in, they're going. The Manitoba Junior League, they're going full steam ahead right now. So I've been in the rink a couple of times, and you know, as we move into the kind of Christmas season and closer to January 8th, I think a lot of people are really looking forward to kind of trying to get to as normal as possible.
Brandon Crow is the play-by-play voice for the Brandon Wheat Kings here on White Spot Giants this week. Let's get to the actual fun stuff here, Brandon. The Wheat Kings last season placed third in the Eastern Division. And it was close, and with a few games left, I mean, who knows what could have changed in that sense, but all in all, with the benefit of more months than we would have appreciated worth of hindsight, did that meet your expectations, surpass them? Was last season viewed as a positive by yourself, the staff, the fan base, the players?
You know, it was one of those things where when the season started and, you know, you introduce, you know, new head coach, longtime NHLer Dave Lowry, you know, and there wasn't instant change. And I think fans in Vancouver and especially fans of the Canucks, you know, when there's a change made, fans expect results instantly. You know, they expect that first game under the new regime to be night and day different from the old one. And that was the same case in Brandon. And I think, you know, the first 10 games, Brandon was very average. They were a very average hockey team. And a lot of fans were thinking, well, now what? We've made a coaching change and nothing's really changed. Well, the whole mantra amongst the coaching staff was just do your job. Go to work, do your job, the results will follow. And you really saw that with the Wheat King Hockey Club. You look at the last 24 games of the season, Brandon was 20-4 down the stretch till the season was canceled. They were arguably the hottest team in Canada and one of the best teams in the Western Hockey League right down the stretch. And it was just it wasn't a light switch moment. It was kind of a slow build, you know, as the days and weeks went on, the team started getting better and better and better. And it's so unfortunate. And I'm not saying this to be overly biased, because I like to try and, as you taught me a number of years ago, to try and, you know, tell the story as truthful as possible. Brandon was ready to make some noise. And they were ready to face Winnipeg in the first round of the playoffs, which would have been an absolute war. It would have been an Oilers-Flames Battle of Alberta-type playoff war. You had a couple sets of brothers on each side. The two teams absolutely hated each other. Had they played a full seven-game series in the first round, it would have been 19 meetings between the two clubs this season. And there was some serious bad blood, and it was really going to be a fun playoff series. And Brandon, to me, was peaking at the right time. So it's so unfortunate to me that it ended the way it did. And I think a lot of teams can say that around the league, that, hey, our team was starting to roll. We were looking forward to playoffs. But I think at the end of the day, you call the season what it was, and you look at it, it's a success for the Brandon Wheat Kings. Dave Lowry was able to implement his new systems. You look at the NHL draft and what they did with four players drafted, two of them in the first round. You look at, you know, their 50-man list. You look at some of the players playing, you know, AAA midget or U18, whatever you want to call it. They got five or six players wearing the Captain C on their list, captaining their AAA midget program. So, you know, it's been a real good 365 days for the Brandon Wheat Kings, despite the way it ended, realistically, the trajectory is only going up for this team right now.
Braden Schneider and Ridley Gregg were drafted in the first round, as you said. They were also invited to Canada's World Junior Selection Camp. Kind of a two-parter here for you, Brandon, but did either of those selections surprise you in the least when it came to the World Junior Camp? And even going a little bigger picture, when you look at the WHL content at that World Junior Camp, did anybody catch you by surprise for their addition or their omission?
Well, I think from the World Junior perspective, I mean, Braden Schneider had a great camp last year and a great showing. And of course, he'd represented, his region at the Ivan Hlinka / Wayne Gretzky tournament, whatever they call it these days. I feel like I'm so far out of the loop, I don't even know the name of these tournaments anymore. But, he'd had a real good showing, and unfortunately he was one of the last few handful of cuts from Team Canada last year. But, you know, he's the type of guy that, you know, I knew in my mind that he was going to take that cut personally and do everything he could to get back there. And, with him getting drafted in the first round of the Rangers, I said it in my tweet right after the New York Rangers selected him. There are going to be a number of NHL GMs that did not select Braden Schneider, especially in that Eastern Conference, that are going to regret not drafting Braden Schneider because he's just the type of guy that has gotten so much better. At 16 for Brandon, he was playing, you know, 35 minutes a night against the top players on other teams. I mean, I look at, yourself, your voice got in on the New York Rangers highlight reel that night because as a 16-year-old, Braden Schneider came into Vancouver and laid a monstrous Nicholas Cronwall-type body check on one of the Vancouver Giants that just keeps making the highlight reels. He was 16 at the time, and people keep forgetting that. So, he's a guy, to me, he's a lock to make that Team Canada. Ridley Gregg, on the other hand, he's maybe got a bit of a long shot to make that team. Just because, of the style of game he plays, he gets the job done. He puts up numbers, but he's not overly flashy. But a lot of the things he does go unnoticed in a good way. You know, I'd love to see them both represented. Brandon, you know, has had a real good run of World Junior representation in the last few years. But, you know, I look at the team in general and some of the players on the list. Boy, is this going to be the best Canadian team we've seen in a long time? I mean, you look at Kirby Dach getting released from the Chicago Blackhawks. If he's not the best player in his age group right now, I mean, you look at what he did at the bubble in Edmonton, and at times he was the Chicago Blackhawks' best player in that series against Edmonton. So I'm really looking forward to it. To me, getting things going again is going to be awesome to see. I think Canada is going to have just an absolute dominant team. And, you know, on a local level, Damon Hunt of the Moose Jaw Warriors, draft pick of Minnesota, he's been released to the Junior A team here in Verdun, where I live, just outside of Brandon. And I went and watched the last handful of games, and he is absolutely dominating at the Junior A level. And, you know, he probably should, but he coming off that injury he had last year, he was cut on the arm and missed the majority of the season. That kid is ready to play. So, you know, for me, keep an eye out for Damon Hunt, a Moose Jaw Warrior, Minnesota Wild draft pick. I think he's going to be a surprise for a lot of people when they say, hey, how'd that kid make this team? And I really think he's got a good shot. But, I mean, you look at that roster, Team Canada has to be a favorite for gold in everybody's mind right now.
You're not kidding. And, I mean, I think with the addition of Dach, as you mentioned, and, you know, Bowen Byram being on that list as well.
Right, Bowen Byram.
So I just want to talk about Braden Christopher a little, or not Braden Christopher, sorry. Thinking about 6 years ago in the WHL with him. Braden Schneider, Brandon, I mean, unfortunately, Giants fans have only gotten to see this player play that one game as a 16-year-old, the hit. A hell of a game, by the way, 2 years ago at the LEC between the two clubs. But, like, who does he remind you of? Is there an NHL parallel? Is there, like, a recent junior-type defenseman that you see, you know, shades of when you watch Braden Schneider because you've seen him more than anybody?
Well, I think for fans, especially in Vancouver, in the Vancouver area, that watched the series between the Canucks and the Golden Knights, to me, he is very much like Shea Theodore of the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, you know, Shea Theodore's a guy that I can't believe the Anaheim Ducks would have made available, because the way he's come along and turned himself into arguably one of Vegas's top defensemen is just amazing. I mean, for Schneider, he's offensive. He jumps in the rush. I mean, he had 42 points last year. I mean, 7 goals, the rest were assists. But when he does jump up into the rush, he can make things happen. But at the end of the day, he loves defending. He loves blocking shots. He loves being physical, and he loves being kind of a pain-in-the-butt type guy to play against. But he also has a good mix of offensive flair. He can run a power play. You know, he can move the puck around. He can be the shooter on the power play. In fact, I've seen him play in front of the net on the power play. So he can do a little bit of everything. To me, Shea Theodore is probably a real good way to describe him. I'm thinking if you kind of look at some previous Brandon Wheat Kings, you know, that fans in Vancouver might, you know, recognize, Ryan Pollock of the New York Islanders is probably another close comparison. Heavy shot from the point, good defender, a guy that can jump up in the rush and isn't afraid to mix it up. And sneakily, Braden Schneider is a big, big, big fella. 6'2", 209. I imagine with the offseason he's had, he'll probably be pushing 220, if not more. He's a thick, thick man. His brother Merrick is going to be a Saskatoon Blade this year. They come from a good bloodline. He works hard. And the thing that is underrated about Braden Schneider is that he was born and raised in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. And there's something about it. When you're born and raised in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, you are tough as nails. There's something in the water. That's just the way it is. There's a saying out here on the prairies, PA tough, and he is just that. His mom's a police officer. He's just a tough, tough kid. And, you know, for me, the New York Rangers got an absolute steal by trading up to get him. And I know, and I just, you know, I know in my heart of hearts that there are going to be a lot of teams in that metropolitan division that are kicking themselves because they didn't draft him when they had a chance in that first round.
I would say there's not a city in Canada that I have more of a love-hate relationship than with Prince Albert. But thank you for the memories. Brandon Crow, voice of the Brandon Wheat Kings here on White Spot Giants this week. Quickly, Brandon, two other Wheat Kings got picked a few weeks ago. Ben McCartney, Cole Reinhart. Again, kind of with the fact that our fans probably haven't seen these two players play a whole heck of a lot. Give us kind of a 40-second summary of each guy.
Well, Ben McCartney, again, another pain in the butt type player, loves to mix it up, and he led the Wheat Kings in penalty minutes. And you know, he told me at one point early in the season, he goes, "I'm going to hit triple digits." And normally, a player his age is talking about goals and points. He was talking about penalty minutes. He just loves it. He absolutely, if he played in 1980 or the early 90s, he'd have been a perfect fit. He's a real pain, but has some real offensive touch. Perfect fit to me to go to Phoenix, a place where he's got no pressure. He can go down there. He can be himself. I think he's got an opportunity here to grow into something. I'm not sure he's you know ready yet to play pro hockey anytime soon. But you know, as a 21-year-old, after some seasoning, he'll be probably a real good American League two-way NHLer until he earns a spot. As for Cole Reinhart, this is a kid that, to me, has really underachieved to this point in his career. He was a guy that was invited to Colorado development camp a couple of years ago, got a look from the Avalanche 2 years in a row, but they didn't draft him. He's a big kid. He's an Alberta farm kid. He's strong. He's got a good frame on him. But he was a guy that, when he was scoring, he could score a ton of goals. But when things weren't going well, he couldn't hit water if he was standing on a boat. So it was one of those things where it took a while, and once he got paired with Luca Berzan, a Colorado pick, along with Bowen Byram and then Ridley Gregg on the other side, all of a sudden things started clicking for him, and he was putting the puck in the back of the net, and he was starting to put it all together. So he's a guy, to me, a late pick for Ottawa. They've had a great offseason, the Ottawa Senators, and I think he's a type of guy. You look at, to me, like Mark Stone, a guy that was picked in the seventh round by Ottawa, and nobody gave him a shot. He couldn't skate well enough. He had the hands, but he just wasn't ever going to play. Well, look what happened. I'm not comparing Cole Reinhart to Mark Stone, but I'm saying Ottawa's done a real good job in the past of finding guys late that turn into pro NHLers. And to me, Cole Reinhart, if he can keep playing at the consistency he found late in the season, he'll be a good pick for Ottawa late in that seventh round.
Three more here for you, Brandon. The future outlook of the Wheat Kings as we push into January 8th and the 2020-21 season. Kind of a two-parter, the future outlook of the Wheat Kings and just how the overall state of the East Division looks moving forward. Are the Wheat Kings the favorite? Who gives them the biggest run for their money in your mind?
Well, there's a lot of things that have changed about the Brandon Wheat Kings, and of course the biggest one is right at the top of the organization with the sale of the team and the McCrimmon family selling the team to Jared Jacobson and the J&G group in Brandon. That's been the storyline all summer. There were some rumors early on that Kelly and his family were going to sell the team, and ultimately they came to fruition early in September. And, that's a big difference. I mean, you take Kelly McCrimmon out of the equation, and all of a sudden the Wheat Kings might be a bit of a different team on paper off the ice because of his commitment to the Western League and his expertise and knowledge. But I know he's laid some real nice groundwork with the staff that are there. And that's a big storyline, is how much difference a new owner makes for the on-ice product. I don't imagine you'll see it right away. But to me, Brandon has to be a favorite. I think the way they finished last year, they've got to be at least a favorite to contend for a division title. Right now, I know Winnipeg is they're gonna give Brandon a run for their money. With Peyton Krebs and Connor McLennan and Matthew Savoy a year older, they're gonna give Brandon a run. And those two teams, like I mentioned earlier, they absolutely hate each other. And you know, Prince Albert's gonna be a good team again. They've got Ozzie Weisblatt coming back, and they got some good goaltending in PA. I still think that Regina and Saskatoon, Regina definitely in the rebuild. Saskatoon's kind of middle of the pack. Moose Jaw's middle of the pack, and Swift Current moving back over. They're still in a long rebuild after their championship. So, to me, Brandon, Winnipeg, Prince Albert are going to be contenders and fighting hard for that three spot. And the thing is, if they do move ahead with kind of divisional play, and it's these Eastern teams playing each other night after night, it's going to be tough. whoever comes out of that East Division is going to be battle-worn and full of scars, and some ice bags will be needed by the time that East Division trophy is lifted and getting ready into the WHL final, if and when that ever happens. But certainly, Brandon, if they can continue on their trajectory, they should be contending for that East Division title.
Brandon, tell our audience how you and I met.
Oh, man, what a story this is, folks. Dan O'Connor was kind of the first. I mean, I grew up in the Brandon area listening to Bruce Lubke, who Vancouver Giants fans, so, you know, if you followed the Western Hockey League, was the voice of the Brandon Vikings for 25 years. He was kind of the first guy I ever listened to hockey games on radio. And I thought, this guy's the best there is. Well, then, one of my best friends, Ward Suskey, had gone out to Saskatchewan and was playing for the North Battlefords North Stars in the Saskatchewan Junior League. And they had a radio guy, a young fella, by the name of Dan O'Connor. And I was in college, and I needed a couple of credits of real-life work experience to graduate. And I was coming up with my buddy's parents to watch a couple of games anyway. And so I just sent an email around and got a hold of Dan and said, hey, do you mind if I tag along? And, you know, yourself and Ken Pearson, who was the head coach at the time, who I still have a great relationship with. I'm helping work with him and his junior A team now in Neepawa a little bit on their board of directors. They invited me along on a three-game road trip through Estevan, Weyburn, and Notre Dame. They didn't know me from a hole in the ground. They know they gave me a hotel room. They fed me for a weekend, and Dan just welcomed me up into the booth and allowed me to call a few games with him, doing some color commentary. I remember that first game at Estevan, Dan. The press box in that old rink, you couldn't see the clock from the press box. So little did I know, you would make me climb down the ladder every few minutes to look at the clock to see how much time was left so that you could relay to the fans how much time was left in the period. But since then, obviously, I followed Dan through Prince George through his days with the Cougars, and you know, I've relied on him for some demo tape help and some just some general friendship and guidance over the years. And you fans in Vancouver, you don't know how lucky you have it to have a guy like Dan O'Connor at the helm calling Giants games. I mean, to me, there's absolutely no one better in the Western Hockey League at telling a story than Dan. And I say that with the utmost respect for what he does. This guy is the absolute best, and you're lucky to have him. So I'm glad that, you know, one day back in 2008 or 9, whatever it was, I sent you an email to your Gmail account, and we were able to connect because it's a small world, and ultimately we've found ourselves on the same trajectory in the hockey world, and I wouldn't do it again if I could. It was it worked out perfectly.
You're not kidding, man, and I'll never forget it, because in all of the years that I was in Saskatchewan, the only time we ever went 3-for-3 in a 3-and-3 weekend was that very weekend where you were beside me for all three of those games, a win in Estevan, a win in Weyburn, and a win in Notre Dame to just kind of tie a bow around that. Last one for you, Brandon. Tell us about your podcast.
Well, it's kind of on a bit of a hiatus right now just because we're trying to sort out, you know, do we bring it back right away or do we push it a little bit later? But we've got about 30 episodes up and available for download on iTunes and Spotify. It's called The Weekly Harvest. Myself and the director of game day operations, Chris Falco, we came up with the podcast kind of near the end of the year, closer to playoff time, and we've had some excellent guests. I mean, we've had, you know, Ray Ferraro, a former Wheat King, Darren Dreger, a former Wheat King radio guy, of course, longtime WHLer Jeff Rogers. You know, we've had a ton of great guests. I've had some good storytelling. Some of it's pretty Brandon-centric, but some of it's old-time hockey stories. If you want to catch up on them, just search The Weekly Harvest on Spotify or Apple. I'm not sure what the Android, I think it's called Google Play Podcasts, whatever that is. Search The Weekly Harvest. Give us a listen. We're hoping to bring it back and resurrect it here right away as we get set for January 8th with some new content, some new guests, and to kind of get people back in the mood for Western Hockey League action.
Always enjoy the time, man. Always enjoy the conversation. Want to wish you and your family just the utmost in safety, positivity, and good vibes as you, you know, push towards January 8th. Stay safe out there, my friend. Enjoy the nice weather, and I sure look forward to our paths crossing face to face, hopefully sooner than later. I always enjoy the conversation.
You betcha, Dan. And hey, keep those dog pictures of your dog Tulo coming on Instagram, because I love him. That's a cute little ball of fur you got running around your house. So keep him coming.
He's fast asleep beside me as we record this conversation. Great stuff from Brandon Crow, the voice of the Brandon Wheat Kings here on White Spot Giants this week. Huge thanks to him. Big thanks to Michael Dick, head coach of the Giants. And a big thanks to you for making this a part of your Monday evening. It's appreciated as always. I'm Dan O'Connor. This has been White Spot Giants This Week on the home of Vancouver hockey and the home of the Giants, Sportsnet 650.